Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Opel Vauxhall Grandland goes all-wheel drive, Audi debuts a long-range Q5 hybrid, and BMW's iX3 gets native NACS. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you about Stellantis dipping its toe in the battery swapping business in Spain with a US-based company. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Friday, 13th of June. I'm Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Can, if you want to, check out the Patreon page. Really, no pressure if you want to. It gets this show on the air. And I'm enormously grateful if for anyone who just has a look at the page, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily, let alone actually supporting the show. You are incredible, all those people that do. Let's start the news with Vauxhall. Opel revealing its first all-wheel drive electric SUV with the new dual motor version of the Grandland Electric. This top model uses the same powertrain as its Stellantis cousins, the Peugeot E3008 and E5008. The all-wheel drive Grandland Electric adds a rear motor. It's an 83 kilowatt motor actually, alongside the standard 156.6 front motor. So, still front-wheel bias, but you get all-wheel drive combined, 321 horsepower, 0 to 62, 6.1 seconds. It's snappy, brisk, without snapping your neck. Vauxhall says the main benefit of the dual motor system is more grip and more stability, especially off-road. This is not an off-roader, but I guess you could do some soft-roading with it. Maybe, I don't know, you've parked in a field on fireworks night and you're worried about getting up that hill. It would probably do it. This is a very specific use case. I'm not sure where that came from, but you know, I thought I'd try and think of something. There is an all-wheel drive mode that keeps both motors running for full power. Normal mode, again, for efficiency, you won't be surprised to hear, front-wheel drive only until the traction is needed. This top Grandland Electric comes standard with adaptive dampers for better comfort on all roads, keeps the same battery, 73 kilowatt hours. Front-wheel drive has a range of 311 miles. The dual motor starts deliveries in September. Pricing, couldn't find it. I guess we'll know nearer the time. Let's talk about another long-range plug-in hybrid, this time coming from our friends at Audi, adding a plug-in hybrid version of the Q5. 62 miles of all-electric range, not quite as much as some of their cousins in the Volkswagen group can do, 80-90 miles, but the Q5's quite a chunky vehicle. In sportback form or quattro form, it was the powertrains from the A5 and the A6 series, 2-litre turbocharged petrol engine. But then they add the hybrid system, 295 brake horsepower in this 0-62, 6.2 seconds. The 30-kilowatt-hour battery will charge at 11 kilowatts on AC. So that's big by plug-in hybrid standards. It's not big by Chinese plug-in hybrid standards. You get 40-50 kilowatt hour batteries in those, but 30 is very, very respectable. It's got some EV chops. You can adjust the regen with flappy paddles. 75% of its kinetic energy can be recovered when you grind to a halt. Multiple drive modes allow pure electric driving or hybrid operation. Both body styles come to the UK with quattro all-wheel drive. That starts at 56,740 for the SUV, and if you want the sportback version, which is a little less practical, but many people like the styling of that, that is a £59,000 UK sterling vehicle. Orders open July, deliveries begin September. You'll do a lot of miles on electric if you are charging it overnight. Key to all these vehicles, even with big batteries, if you charge them overnight, you'll never, ever, ever go and fill up at the petrol station, because that 30 kilowatt hour, that's 60 miles a day for so many people will do them. They don't think it will, by the way. We see it over and over again in the research. People say, well, I need an EV that can do 1,000 miles nonstop whilst carrying my 8 children in a horse box. And it turns out they've got a commute that's about 12 miles round trip every day, and they can charge it at home. And so, you know, if you do charge those plug-in hybrids, it wouldn't be for me. I do like to go full electric. I'm done with servicing the oily bits, to be honest with you. I've had enough catalytic converter changes over the years that I enjoy knowing my EV, when it goes in for its annual MOT or a regular service, there's no problems. Like, what's going to go wrong? The only thing is the traction battery. And I took out an extended warranty on the Polestar because it was a used car when I bought it. Whether that's a good idea or not, I don't know. It wasn't fabulously expensive, the warranty, and I've never had to use it. Touch wood. Now I've said that. Let's hope it doesn't break down. Hey, let's talk BMW iX3. BMW's new iX3 will be the first Neue Klasse model in the US. And it will feature the North American Charging Standard port, otherwise known as, under its standards name, J3400. It'll connect directly with things like Tesla Supercharger Network and other third-party chargers, which are now either being retrofitted or installed as new installs with, in some cases, dual heads. Electrify America are doing some test sites where they've got four cables on. So two parking spaces in front of it, and then the left side has got both a CCS1 and a NACS, and then the right-hand side has got CCS1 and NACS. And so we're seeing more people put these connectors on their chargers. iX3 will be an 800 volt system and a maximum charging speed of 400 kilowatts. BMW are really proud of Neue Klasse, their new platform. And when you hear that it's going to charge at 400 kilowatts, you can see why. Now, there are some Porsche chargers out there that are rated 400 kilowatts. I've never stumbled across one of them. Oh, maybe I have. Was I at Silverstone? They have a Porsche have a track day, like a sort of a track experience day, next to Silverstone as you drive in, and you go across. Because normally, if I'm going there, it tends to not be at a race meeting weekend. It's either for a meeting or something, and so you get to drive into the infield and things like that, which you wouldn't normally get to do unless you're one of the teams or drivers on a busy weekend. But if I'm going to Silverstone when it's not so busy, what will be making noise, apart from there's stuff on the track, is the Porsche Experience Center, and they've got a row of new chargers. They might be 400. Kilowatt charges. Next time I'm up there, I'll go and have a little look. I wonder if I can use them. They're always empty. A 10-minute charge on an Iona station that's 400 kilowatts in the US would add 217 miles or 350 kilometers. And that's amazing in 10 minutes. iX3 can hold its peak charging rate for 3 to 5 minutes as well. And that might not sound a lot, but like I say, if you are planning 10-minute stops, that's a 20-minute stop, 10 to 80 on a big battery. 400 miles of range on EPA, that would be near 500 miles WLTP. And in China, well, they're wildly optimistic. Makes its US debut next year. We're excited about this new BMW. Talking of the X3, the iX3, a lot of videos hit YouTube in the last day or so. You can always tell when the embargo gets lifted because all of the usual suspects, the great channels out there all crop up in my feed, and inevitably, because either doing the school run or something, I just sort of save them to watch later. So I'm going to catch up with them at the weekend, but there looks like some really good videos out there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Autogefühl one. He's always really good. Thomas is brilliant. The new BMW iX3 has been tested in prototype form. Some of the media outlets got to drive them as well, and inspired visually by the Vision Neue Klasse X concept. Inside, panoramic iDrive, widescreen, touch controls on the steering wheel. They say improved voice recognition with AI for natural conversations. And that could be a game changer for voice in the car. I always feel a little bit daft talking to the car when other people are in the car. Although my kids don't even blink an eye because my kids are just growing up in a world where we talk to technology. But if I'm on my own, and you can talk to, in the Polestar, you can talk to the Google system. It's really good. And you can use natural language to either control the car or ask, what time does the supermarket close that I'm heading to? And it knows. And it's, I've had a look online and it's 10 p.m. and you'll get there in 4 minutes. And it's really good. And so if BMW are improving on that, I know that AI is a buzzword at the minute, but if it allows us to have natural conversations with the car rather than having to learn and memorize the exact keywords for, turning on the air conditioning, it means that our eyes stay on the road for more time, and that's got to be a good thing for safety. The reviewers say the cabin is spacious, fitting 6-foot-tall passengers in both rows, and the dual motor 50 xDrive version, over 400 horsepower, 0 to 62 under 5 seconds. The regen and the conventional brake blending was highlighted. Typically, it'll only really need the friction brakes if you are making an emergency stop. Sometimes the stability control systems can apply the brakes if you need some cornering stability. But otherwise, they say that the regen is so strong, you will never touch the brake pedal. And even if you did, it's going to blend that regen and feel very natural, but not actually wear down your friction brakes. While testing the iX3, featuring only passive suspension, it was described as feeling stable but not too stiff, and the chassis tuning allowing the car reviewers to easily control weight transfer during cornering. Unlike many cars today, sport and dynamic drive modes don't add much weight to the steering wheel feel, but mostly they make the throttle and the feedback more responsive and things like that. These improvements aim to keep driving fun and engaging in the upcoming new Neue Klasse EVs. I'll pop a link to one of those reviews. What car had a great review? I'll pop a link to that in the show notes if you'd like to read more. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Cadillac and the Lyriq V over here in Europe and the Chevy Bolts. And when will we get the new one? Stick around. I'll let you know soon. All right, welcome back to the podcast. So let's talk a little bit about a battery factory pause and why this could be a headache for BMW after all the excitement of their new Neue Klasse vehicles, and we think they're going to be very, very good. What batteries will propel them? Well, there's a question mark. AESC, a Japanese battery maker majority owned these days by the Chinese, Envision, has paused construction of its $1.6 billion battery plant in Florence, South Carolina, putting BMW's US plans at risk. The battery facility was meant to supply cylindrical cells for BMW's Neue Klasse EVs. The two cells were 4695s or 4620s, the higher ones, 120mm tall cells for the SUVs where you don't need to sit down quite so low. AESC has already spent $1 billion. Wow. $1 billion on the project. 1,600 jobs are on the line. And they're blaming the instability, the market uncertainty, the tariffs and things like that. Earlier this year, they cancelled a $1.5 billion expansion plan meant to follow the initial construction of the plant. Despite the setback, AESC says it still intends to invest in the United States. So what is this? Is it a little bit of grandstanding with the new US White House, the administration, to get their own tax breaks and things like that? Or is it going to be a standoff? Or generally, sometimes it's cheaper to walk away. Isn't that crazy to say they spent $1 billion? But if they're going to spend another $3 billion making it right. And look at Northvolt. What did Northvolt blow? 14, 15 billion euros and couldn't make it work? It's sometimes cheaper to walk away, as crazy as that sounds. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. Of course, all the local incentives and state incentives are still in place. But it was the federal battery cell production tax credits, I think, which they're looking to get rid of to dissuade American manufacturing of cells, which seems to be at odds with the public message of the new White House, which is we want to invest in America, but killing off these tax credits was the reason why so many businesses, Ford has spoken very passionately about this as well, why the business case then made sense to invest in America and not rely on Chinese stuff. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Let's talk Cadillac Lyriq V quickly in Europe. They're launching their high-performance V. That's the high-performance stuff of Cadillac. And the Lyriq in Europe, it's now available in France. Starts at €110,000. In Germany, at €109,000. The Lyriq V has a 459-kilowatt all-wheel drive system. That's over 600 horsepower, 102-kilowatt-hour battery, 91 usable. So it'll knock on the door of 300 miles. Bit of carbon fiber accenting and stuff like that. Big pano roof, 23-speaker audio system, 33-inch display with an augmented reality head-up display. Cadillac's recent return to Europe with the Lyriq now being supplemented with the Lyriq V. Chevy Bolt is going to return. This is a 2027 model year. GM stopped making the Bolt and the EUV in 2023 and said that there was going to be a new version sometime in 2025. In an announcement about the new $4 billion upgrade at three US plants, the automaker mentioned the next generation Volt launching next year as a 2027 model. So The new Bolt will be made at the Fairfax Assembly Plant in Kansas City, Kansas. No details on specs or anything like that, but surely it will be a small vehicle. It's going to be the Bolt. We know that. It will have an LFP pack. Has to have, for cost reasons. Have they announced that, or am I assuming it? Either way, it probably will, won't it? LFP pack with a version of the Ultium technology. And so, yeah, what's that? Mid-2026? This time next year, the car could come out for a 2027 model year. Looking forward to the full reveal. Let's talk about XPeng or Xiaopeng. Their new SUV is called the G7. It's a mid-size SUV, the G7. And they've got three of their own self-developed AI chips. A total in the car of 2,250 TOPS of processing power that supports their ADAS system, their cockpit systems. There's a 40-core processor in each of the chips. They will process AI tasks as well. Three times more processing power than the NVIDIA Orin X chips, which are very highly regarded. The system also includes backup safety features, independent perception processors, as a fail-safe security module. Xiaopeng plans to use their new chips. They're calling them the Turing chips, they're calling them. Also in robots and flying vehicles, as well as cars, the company will release the initial self-driving features this year. They're calling them Level 3. And if it's Level 3, according to the definition, that would be hands-off, eyes-off, on certain roads. So there might be regulated at certain speeds, certain roads, but it's where the car maker takes on the liability, as Mercedes does with their hands off, eyes off. You've got to be ready to take over at any moment on a Level 3 system, but it genuinely is being able to do something else with your attention whilst the car is driving. Volkswagen is driving Germany's electric car sales to new highs, and it's great to see the Germany really getting back into the swing of things with their EV market. In May last month, plug-in electric vehicles were 28.5% of Germany's auto sales, up from 18% a year earlier. BEVs were 18%, plug-in hybrids 10.5%. BEV registrations growing 45% year on year. Total vehicle sales were steady. Volkswagen Group were driving nearly all of the BEV growth in its home market of Germany, doubling their EV deliveries year over year. The VW ID7 was Germany's top-selling electric model for the fifth straight month in a row. That ID7, that's a brilliant vehicle, by the way. I think very, very underrated. Bit of a sleeper hit, that one. Then it's the ID3, then the Skoda Elroq, not ENIAC, but Elroq. By manufacturer, Volkswagen Group increased their lead. 47%, 48% almost of Germany's BEV sales over the last 3 months was the group of Volkswagen. BMW Group second, but a long way behind, 11% rather than 48% for Volkswagen. Let's talk about a couple of brands in the UK, Omoda and Jaecoo, which, again, I've been skeptical of sub-brands, of Chinese, of, well, people will actually want them or not. Hey, in May, they sold almost 1,700 of them, of the Omoda and Jaecoo ones, through their dealership network. 70 UK dealerships are currently open. They're plug-in hybrids, by the way. They're calling it SHS technology. It's just a plug-in hybrid, but it's got some fancy branding around it. The Jaecoo is the Jaecoo 7. The Omoda is the Omoda 9. And they say that the SHS system is innovative, revolutionary, whatever you want to say, stands out from other plug-in hybrids because it can keep the battery charged at all times. I thought a lot of hybrids have got that mode, that battery maintained mode, but it will support DC fast charging at 70 kilowatts, and that is very, very impressive. The Jaecoo 7 is 70% of the model sales. That's got a WLTP range on electricity of 56 miles, by the way. The Omoda 9 delivers 93 electric miles, and both on sale here in the UK, and according to the figures, according to Automotive Online, that's almost 2,000 sales in a month of a brand that, well, 5 minutes ago, nobody had heard of here. Now, Stellantis and their free-to-move car sharing service is partnering with Ample, and they're going to give battery swapping a go. They're going to use Fiat 500 ease. The system lets drivers swap empty batteries for full ones at dedicated stations. These ones take 5 minutes to battery swap. We saw recently the 100-second battery swap open in China, but these are going to be a five-minuter. And Ample's technology uses modules that are about the size of a suitcase. They combine them into custom battery packs. Drivers can choose single modules for short trips or multiple modules for longer routes. These modules replace standard EV batteries and can be fitted without major changes to the vehicle. The approach is flexible and works across different platforms. The Madrid program started last year. After passing official approval and testing, Ample's new stations reduce swap times from 10 minutes to 5 minutes now. And while battery swapping can keep car sharing fleets running longer, experts note that scaling the infrastructure is a bigger challenge, fabulously capital intensive, and for a small fleet of car sharing, it may not be worth the while, but we love that kind of stuff and we'll carry on reporting on it. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.